For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everyone, it's Michael. Before we begin, I want to remind you all to join the new Union Sports Goalkeeping Community, a social media network that reimagines how we engage, educate, and entertain one another. To download free, go to www.theunionsports.com or the Union Community on Apple or Google Play stores. Thanks for making the Union possible, and on with the show. Welcome to Inside the 18. I'm Michael Magid, live from Hollywood, California. With me, you know them as the Camp Shutout superstar team, the one and only founder of Camp Shutout, Stan Anderson, going to us in a vehicle right now. I'm not going to lie, Stan, I feel like I'm on a ride at Disneyland the way this is going, if it's a very Star Tours type situation.
Exactly. We may end up tilting a little bit.
and joining us, someone who just recently was at Camp Shutout, we have Houston Dynamo Academy. Did I just say Dynamy? I think I just made a new team. That's a USL 3 team, guys. Houston Dynamo Academy, goalkeeper coach Eric Klonowski. Eric making his triumphant return from playing career to coaching career. The evolution of the goalkeeper union right here. What's up, man?
Thanks for having me, Mike. Appreciate it, man.
I'm excited about this, man. I know we've been trying to make this happen for quite a while here. Stan, to kind of fill you in a little bit, Eric and I have been going kind of back and forth, and now I know why it's been so hard for him to get on the podcast. This guy's been really busy, haven't you, Eric?
Yeah, I do as much as I possibly can, and I think that is sometimes at the detriment to I think my girlfriend doesn't love that at times, but I do a lot of stuff. I try to make my time as useful as possible. So, yeah, this summer was certainly a busy one.
Yeah, you know, I mean, one of the funniest things that you said about that is that you're like, I'm really busy. Can we do this in August? And then I realized one of the reasons why you had so much of a difficult time to get on the podcast is because you had committed yourself selflessly to the Goalkeeper Union to join Camp Shutout. Stan, what was that experience like having people like Klonowski at camp this year?
You know, I'm not going to lie. It is a rich enhancement. I love having EK there. He does a great job. That's nice and that's important. But you just want to be around great people, and you know, you're bringing in a great person. It happens to be a fantastic coach as well. He's immersed in the game, and that's great. He gives so much to the game, and he was damn good as a player as well. And he's got a rocket up his backside on his way to being a fantastic coach also. It's great.
Look at that. It's praise from Caesar right over there, Eric. Look at that.
Yeah, the first time he said that, I sent him like $100 on Venmo, and he's just still cashing in.
Oh my
God. Not at all. Absolutely 100% honest.
Well, so exactly. So Stan, how did this relationship kind of cultivate and everything like that? Because Eric, I know the last time that we had talked, you were still pursuing your career. I think you were at Toronto at the time. Last time you were on the show, and that was during the pandemic. Not as much was going on, but Stan, how did you two connect?
You know, we connected via social media. I mean, nowadays, you know, marriages start that way, so why can't friendships? And the reality is that I reached out because I saw, frankly, just a guy who was really, really good at what he does. And then what little I was able to see from afar, what have you, was just a really good dude along with it. And so I sent him, as far as I recall, I sent him some notes saying, well, Don, I like your vibe. Keep doing it. You know, enjoy the ride. You know, go along with the journey, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. And slowly over time, it wasn't just a thanks. you know, it was a quality comment in return as far as whatever it may be. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll do my best. Yada, yada, yada. Just, and it kind of rolled and rolled and rolled. And then we realized, you know, we know a lot of the same people along the journey, whether that be Charlie or Cody or yourself or, you know, Omar, on and on. And, you know, one thing leads to another, and you're able to then realize, okay, we can join each other live at camp and get some work in. Outstanding. And then it's just a relationship, a friendship, a colleague approach, you know, just sort of happens and unfolds.
You know, and by the way, Eric, feel free to step in any time right here. But obviously, you know, now with your move kind of to Houston Dynamo, and congratulations on that move. That's a massive move, especially for
Thank
a young
you.
Coach, you know, moving up the ladder like that. But you were in the college game after you had had decided that it was time for you to move to the next portion of your goalkeeping journey. What made you decide to go back to the youth game?
My main reasoning for going back to the youth game was coach development. So a little bit of irony there with regard to what the topic of the episode is today, but I wanted to grow, not necessarily as fast as I possibly could, but I crave, knowledge. I crave being around people that are going to challenge my way of thinking, especially in terms of goalkeeping. Right. So, you know, you jump into a college environment, which I thought was, you know, a fantastic start. You know, in my head, I have this timeline in my head of where I want to be at a certain time. And, you know, of course, we can't tell the future. But when I was planning on retiring, I was like, you know, I'm probably going to have to take maybe a mid-major job, volunteer for a little bit, you know, grind, buy my time, you know, work for a full-time role at some point. And in my head, that's like a 3 to 5 year process. And, you know, in reality, what it was like a 6 month to a year process. And what ended up happening, you know, throughout that year at USF was, you know, a lot of mistakes that I made, a lot of time to grow, and nothing but appreciation for that program and the coaching staff that I was with that allowed me that freedom to make those mistakes. But, you know, in terms of being a head of goalkeeping for an MLS club or for a first team someday, I need to know what it's like to develop a goalkeeper from, you know, our pre-academy Catalyst program all the way up to the first team and all the mechanisms that we utilize to try and get a player from that age group up to the first team and beyond. So I needed to go to a place that my coach development was the emphasis. So I needed to be underneath somebody that was going to challenge my way of thinking, which is Jason. I needed to be, you know, working in collaboration with other goalkeeper coaches on a daily basis, which is now, you know, Jake Davis, Johan Welch, and all of our other Catalyst goalkeeper coaches. So, you know, I'm much more involved now in a football club rather than a university. And I think from my perspective, for where I am right now in the stage of my career, it made the most sense in terms of my coach development. So that was the choice.
Stan, I got a question for you. Obviously, you come across a lot of different goalkeeper coaches at different positions in their lives as goalkeeper coaches and as people in general. Is this something that you recommend for a lot of younger coaches when they're starting out their journey, is that to make sure that they get involved in both the collegiate game and the youth game? I mean, I know even yourself right now are still involved in the youth game despite your being involved in the college game.
Yeah, that's an intensely, and I mean that in a good way, but an intensely personal decision. And you know, Eric has all the qualities and is driven and knows where he wants to go and what he wants to do. And I see nothing but that being fulfilled. And as you said, you don't know the future. Whenever anybody that I come across that's seeking a little bit of mentorship or whatever the case may be, you know, it's really what do they want to do? Some people really, really enjoy that 18 to 22 year old window where you feel like you're kind of, you know, at a stage where they're on their own for the first time. The educational window is huge. It's really a good, fun time to be associated with a player. If you're with a very good team, you know, that obviously that helps a lot as well. Great university, easy to attract players. You're doing it for the right reasons. You're not just trying to load up to help enrollment. Now, if you want to be with the youth, and you know, there are guys that all three of us know that's where they want to be. They want to be with the youth environment and helping players kind of springboard and get into the position where they're either in a college program or they're going to end up being under Eric's watch. So, you know, and look, you know, in an environment where, as you get a little bit further along in the game, for me, you're able to see, okay, what does Eric want? And then what does someone else want? You just kind of put those people together and say, maybe you guys have a chat, because there could be some symmetry or some players coming down a line for you from this person or that person. It really just depends on what they want.
Yeah. And Stan, as you're dropping all this knowledge right here, before I move back to Eric, and again, Eric, please feel free to step in anytime. There's a very big and very important question in the comment section right here from Jay Schulberg, and is asking, is age 10 too young for Camp Shutout? I think they've seen all the wisdom you've been sharing on the podcast, and they say, you know, we need to get our son or daughter there. So
I don't think so. Eric, you can answer as well, but we have,
no,
we have
come
about
on,
100
let's go.
Kids that are in that window. So
no,
go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, Stan, I think it's, you mentioned, you know, it's about what they want. I said for me a couple times there, because I wanted to try and get that point across that, you know, I make that decision about my coach development because it's what I feel that I want. You know what I mean? And I'm not naive to the fact that there's sacrifices that have to be made on either side of that. You know what I mean? If I really wanted to be, you know, a head coach at a big time university, maybe my decisions would have been different, you know, after I got a, right, you know, a full time assistant coaching role. You know, maybe my decisions would have been different if I wanted to be, you know, a first team goalkeeper coach right now. Maybe I could have tried and went to the USL route potentially. But my question was, what is going to get me ready to being, you know, a first team goalkeeper coach at the highest level that I can be? And inherently, there's a lot of volatility with those jobs, right? So the last thing I want to do is get there unprepared, right? And get there unprepared and then get knocked back, you know, 10 pegs. I'm going to get knocked back either way, every step that I take. So limiting those, being calculated about the knocks that I take, I got to make sure that the knock's worth it, right?
Well, Eric, I know you don't have too much time because you've got to get back to that continuing education that you've got going. I think you got a call going on. And Stan, I think you've got sessions. Is it DA sessions or you got or college sessions?
Yeah, it's actually the next rung in our club.
Okay.
Just below our MLS, next in GA.
Gotcha. So let's kind of move into today's topic, guys. And today's topic is continuing education and the right environments and ways to kind of find different environments to continue your education. So maybe, Eric, for some people out there who don't know what we mean by exploring different educational opportunities, like, what in your words is an educational opportunity?
An educational opportunity is. So it's kind of like, you know, how do you define art, right? It's like you can look for educational opportunities anywhere, right? Like I really, really describe, and I did actively throughout the week. I was like, going to Camp Shutout for me, that is so educational, right? I'm involved in collaborating with tons of different coaches at one time. There's a million different things going on at one time. I'm collaborating with maybe some different number sizes than I might normally do. And it's a challenge in a lot of ways, and it's a great challenge, but that to me is a fantastic educational opportunity. Collaborating with Stan, seeing how Stan runs a show, right? That's a great opportunity. So my starting point with everything in terms of learning is in people, right? I think you don't know who's sitting next to you or who's standing next to you, and there's so much value in that person. So having that conversation, number one, is like I'm massive on mentorship, massive on networking. In terms of me becoming a mentor, I got to hang around good mentors, right? It's not a coincidence that I linger around Stan at times. It's not a
coincidence. Wait, that sounded, the way you said that sounded weird. Linger, like he's just hovering behind you, Stan.
Yeah, just lingering around.
At camp, like when you're on those golf carts, there's just Eric just behind you right there. Just hard for you to hide, Eric, at your height. So.
I'm the one driving the golf cart, making sure that Stan has a ride to the next thing. No, it's not a right. If you want to be a mentor, you go hang out with mentors, right? You want to be a goalkeeper coach, you go hang out with goalkeeper coaches. You know, you find rooms that can make you smarter, that make you think differently than you thought before. So, you know, educational opportunity, go talk to somebody. Educational opportunity, you know, go to a different camp, go read online, listen to a podcast, enroll in a class that you wouldn't normally do, right? Like, think outside the box, what is going to separate you from what everyone else is doing, right? If we all just did the same thing, then we all be the same coach. I love
what you just said right there, Eric, because I just to cut you off right there, because with Stan, with Camp Shutout, and you know this because you were in the environment and everything like that, there's a lot of people that will attend a camp, whether it's a goalkeeper camp or any type of camp, and they will go there to showcase what they know and who they are and what they can bring, as opposed to going there with an open mind and say, okay, I'm here to grow too, because I'm not around just other coaches that want to grow as well, but I'm also around other players that want to grow. So we're all going to benefit. And Stan, honestly, I mean, not to, you know, toot your own horn or anything like that, but like, it is true. If you have to be a very specific minded person in order to succeed at Camp Shutout, whether it's a player or a coach.
Well, you do, but that's one of the reasons I'm drawn to a guy like Eric Linofsky, because in those interactions over time of him coming out of school and getting his shot and getting drafted and et cetera, all of that stuff makes you, you know, realize that this is somebody that wants to teach and give. And, you know, we've had people at our program that ultimately, you know, we just don't have back because it's more about them. So I love what Eric said as far as, you know, it's like art. Camp Shutout's not like art, but what you seek. And as far as educational opportunities, it's like defining art. What is it? And, you know, I hope this is today for somebody. And I hope that when I go out on this field today that I'm learning as well as the kids are learning. You do need to seek the right people to learn from. I think that's important because, you know, look, if you're hanging around, if you're in business and you're hanging around five homeless guys, you may be able to show them six homeless guys. You've got to hang around the right people and push yourself in ways that may be uncomfortable, et cetera. And so that's important to learn. And, you know, today is, look, Michael, your platform, this platform, there's nothing really like this out there. And I hope, pray that people, goalkeepers, coaches, et cetera, for all of your whole guest lineup, it's fantastic learning opportunities. Sure, there are diploma-laden opportunities as well. I'm not personally the biggest fan of those. I'm more of somebody that is going to take something from this, or is going to take something from the afternoon, or is going to take something from a specific team and the players within that team, et cetera. But, you know, for me and how Eric goes about his day-to-day, not just the end game, but how he goes about his day-to-day, the networking, the ability to stay connected, the ability to be in the right place at the right time and understand the moment, pick the right situation, et cetera. Those are, you know, someone has helped him in the past to allow him to seek what he wants in the future. And all along that journey are educational opportunities.
You made me think about Camp Shutout, and I'm just like, what was so educational for me about Camp Shutout? I felt like that it's the only place, that one of the very few places in the world that I've been, at least, where I have to be the right coach for, you know, a 10-year-old at any given moment that is maybe the best 10-year-old out of these 350 goalkeepers. I might have to be the right goalkeeper coach for, you know, a 15-year-old who's maybe in group 20 that is just starting out in goalkeeping and trying to move forward. And then 5 minutes later, I have to be the right mentor for a staff assistant who's getting up to their, you know, senior year in college and wants to be a professional, or maybe a, you know, a junior in college who's thinking about transferring, or, you know, a host of different things. And then in the same token, a minute later, I'm sitting with, you know, Chris Dadian and Doug Cardozzi, and we're talking about years past, and I have to then be ready to be mentored at the same time. And it's at any second, I have to be open to learning and open to giving information. And I think what you get at Camp Shutout is an opportunity for so much variability in that.
I mean, obviously we're very big on Camp Shutout, you know, here at the podcast. I don't want to make it feel like an infomercial for Camp Shutout, which I always say whenever Stan comes on the show. But I think there is really something to be said, and I was talking to somebody about this recently, is that if you go to an environment where everyone knows the same as you and they think just like you, when you leave, are you really going to have gained anything from that experience? Or well, have you really just been going through the motions? So, for instance, today recently, and this is something that's very controversial to a lot of people, is that we're posting on the Union today. We're posting a clip of a training session where somebody was doing a forward roll activation into a movement. And this is a very controversial thing. A lot of people think it looks like a quote unquote joke. A lot of people don't see the understanding. But the reason I wanted to have us post this is because I want to get the feedback, the engagement from people on yay or nay, and what are the benefits and what are the negatives about it? Because if we don't start these conversations, if we just start, you know, negating something without knowing the context of why somebody's doing something, then are we really growing, or are we just being stuck in our own thoughts of what we believe is quote unquote right? You know, I'll get off my soapbox now.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think there's a lot to be said for what you're saying. I think there needs to be context to everything. There needs to be rationale to everything. And being open to hearing that rationale is where we all need to be. For me, I think, you know, when we're talking about a forward roll or something that maybe doesn't exactly look like the game, because we're trying to make things look like the game, at least when we're on the field, because we only have so much time. I think, you know, one of the things that I've been getting into and we've been getting into with the Academy right now is really making use of, you know, their individual developmental plans. So, you know, most of our 17s are in the morning. They're in online school. We have training in the morning, and then we have time in the afternoon where I can take them into the gym and do some various, you know, cross training, or, you know, we throw a football around, or we play tech ball, or play spike ball for 15 minutes, or, you know, we have this weighted ball that we throw around and work on catching techniques. So I think, you know, there's certainly something to be said for the relationship between gymnastics and goalkeeping. It's just the context of when you put it in, the rationale of how you're using it. So, you know, do I think specifically in that moment, the time or the value I'm going to get out of that in the session versus the time that I have in the session, for me, I don't know, but I'm not completely against using it in some context.
And that's the thing. And that's the reason, because this coach posted this recently on the Union, and we're like, we want to repost this, and we want to get honest feedback from people on, like, and I want to know from this coach why he did it. Because it might just be a simple, you know, thing like, oh, I'm using the forward roll because I want this goalkeeper to get comfortable with being disoriented and having to reset and find the ball line again. You know, I mean, like, I don't know why they're doing it. So for me, just to disregard, which I used to do in the past, is be like, oh, this looks ridiculous, or like, that's not my type of training, or whatever type of thing, you know. And Stan, I think that's the maturation of the coach as they grow up. And we're talking about, you know, continuing education. That's also continuing education, is being open-minded.
Sure. You know, there's so many reasons to do something. And, you know, I love Sarki, Aleksandar Saric. Okay. And he's one of the weirdest goalkeeper coaches out there on the planet. And I love him for it. I literally love him for it, because he makes me think differently. You know, some of the things he does are just odd, but so much of what he does is so relevant. You know, I'm at UIC one day, and Argentina is in town. And Gustavo Pinheiro is the goalkeeper coach at that time. Had Romero on the team as well. And, you know, he was sending volleys into the goalkeepers who were kind of in a sit position, leaning their back against the post. And I'm like, you know, what's going on here? You know, what's this all about? And, you know, I just took it as, okay, there's something he's wanting to get done. I don't know what that is. But we, you know, there's an old adage, it's easy to coach someone else's team. And it is, you know, from afar, it's really easy to look at that and go, yeah, that shouldn't be done, or that should be done. We don't know if there's a 10-minute window and that's all they have. They have a 10-minute window and you know, they're told to be ready in a moment's notice, and they don't want to take a deep dive into something tactical or whatever it might be they're working on. And, you know, maybe it's a little bit of fun, and maybe yesterday was a pounding day. And so they're going to have a little bit of fun and maybe banter out of this and before they get into it. And maybe it's the end of the session. So many different things to look at. I'm not throwing the I'm going to defend this at all costs type of thing, because, you know, at the end of the day, you're not going to do a somersault to go make a save. Have I done it? Absolutely, I've done it, because I've wanted to see some of that, as Eric used the word gymnastics, and some of that agility to see if somebody can go from a prone position to see if they can get stable to then orient and make a save and maybe still catch or bury. And you know, it's the old adage of free throws working on a smaller basket than a regulation basket. You're putting a goalkeeper in kind of a most difficult scenario, or a very difficult scenario, to get to their feet and make a save. And, you know, I think there's a little bit of value, maybe not every day.
Well, let's do this right now, because I think one of the things too about continuing education is showcasing, you know, that you bring things so that other people can be educated. So what I want to do right now is I want to throw up a little bit of a Klonofsky session designs, because Eric, you actually took your session designs from Houston Dynamo and actually incorporated them in a very difficult environment, which I want to stress that to a lot of people out there. Like Eric was saying, when you go into a camp environment, you know, you've got players that are at different levels. Now, obviously, Stan, you do a great job of branching them into different groups. But you still have players in different levels of development, regardless of the groups, and you have to make it work. So walk us through a little bit, Eric, of what you got going on here. So what do we have here first off?
I'm trying to realize. So I sent over, like, I don't know, like 12 sessions or something like that. I put the session together. I don't even remember what topic this is, to be honest with you. What are we looking at here? We're looking at this has to be a 1v1 exercise or some kind of reaction exercise. Oh yeah, I remember this. I remember this drill. Well, basically, okay. Every time I'm making an exercise, I'll make it off of a video clip, right? It's very rare that I'll make any kind of session where it's not in relation to something from the game. So basically, if we're talking about, you know, defending the area and dealing with a 1v1 situation, I might have had 12 to 14 goalkeepers here. I tried to be as organized as possible with the setup that I had. I probably rewrote it from a specific video clip. It looks like there's definitely some kind of in possession, out of possession. I gamified it as well towards the end, but to be honest, I'd probably have to read through this a little bit more. So it's also very rare for me to ever do a session twice. I think there's very little opportunity for when you're taking a clip to take that clip and, you know, if we're going to take one clip and then take another clip and say that we can do the same session, my activation, my technical portion, all of that straight along through, it's going to be relevant to what I'm trying to accomplish. So I would have to take the clip and take a look at what I was trying to accomplish and then move it in relation to what this session actually was to give you a real deep dive into, you know, kind of the intricacies of what the session was. But it looks like defending the area or some type of reaction. It looks like there's a couple teams that are working against each other. Balls are being played from different areas, and I imagine there's a million decisions to be made.
Well, there's a bunch of these different ones that you sent me. Now, it would have been nice if you had told me that you needed me to get the training footage as well to match it up with. Eric's like, I've got some stuff for you. I'm like, great, awesome. He knows what he's talking about. And then,
his
font's really small. I can't read it. What's going on?
Damn, when's the last time I wrote that? I wrote these sessions, and then I probably reflected right after, and then, you know, it was on to the next session. I mean, there's times at you know, Camp Shutout, we're writing three sessions a day. Sometimes, most of the time, it's two sessions a day, but, you know, it's like an intensive coaching education course. So, you know, you do it to the best of your abilities, and you try to make sure that you're executing what you're trying to accomplish for that session. And then you know, we're on to the next thing. And honestly, since Camp Shutout, it's been Camp Shutout straight to Colorado for the Advanced National Goalkeeping Diploma, straight back for a day or so in Houston, and then, you know, we're straight into preseason. So I haven't had a bunch of time to reflect on my my Camp Shutout sessions just yet.
But when you look at this, okay, and, you know, you just see, even if you just overview it, you see organization. You see the time spent to structure it.
Thank you for saving this, Stan. Thank you. Appreciate it.
No, I'm dead serious because, you know, there's many ways to present whatever it is you want to present. You can prepare it via Duptic. I think, you know, they present a good notebook that's GK. It's for us. You can obviously also do this. You can present it on video, whatever it may be. But who Eric's working with, and really it's no matter who you're working with, but he's in a legit MLS pro environment, okay? So when you're presenting and you're putting the structure like this together and you're taking the time to plan this out and explain step by step, and obviously you can see there's progression. So the goalkeepers are going to have a natural buy-in. It's going to be important that you're a pretty badass coach and they're going to believe, you know, in who they're working with. Eric checks that box. You now present this to them, and it's fantastic because it legitimizes what they're doing within the team environment and within their job. You know, we've all been in environments where the goalkeeper's kind of the second person. They're not listed anywhere in the training schedule or module, or, you know, the spreadsheet has the whole day broken out, but, oh, there's nothing for the goalkeepers. You just warm them up and we'll get them integrated. Like, they're a second thought. This really shows that, you know what, we're gonna we have our act together. There is a plan here for your growth. We follow this. There's structure. We're going to be okay. For me, that's what I see.
You know, I love what you said, and Stan, I'm glad you went that direction, because that's kind of what I was joking at right here in regards to. It's not really about the specific designs themselves. It's more about, like, showcasing, when we're talking about continuing education, using a template like this and how this could benefit somebody who's watching this right now or listening to this right now and goes, oh, okay, I understand why he does it this way and why this is beneficial to him. And maybe somebody at camp, Eric, you know, saw this and went, this is making me rethink how I plan my sessions, because I never thought of it this way. Or maybe you saw something that somebody else did, you know, like a forward roll off a trampoline, and said, you know what, this is making me rethink how I'm doing my sessions.
100%.
But
no, there was a running joke at Camp Shutout with the staff assistants that I would always print out my sessions and hand it to my staff assistant for the day. And they would be like, can I have your session? Can I have your session? And there were a couple staff assistants that I ended up, like, airdropping, like, all of my sessions to, because, you know, like I said, I have to be ready to be the right mentor and be the right mentee at any moment. And, you know, if somebody wants that information, you know what I mean? I'm not going to stop somebody from learning, right? Like, I wanted to make sure that the session went smoothly. I wanted to make sure that I was prepared for the session, that my staff assistant felt comfortable to coach, like they understood what we were trying to accomplish. So, you know, making sure that they had a clear idea of what we were trying to accomplish, I found that they would coach more because they knew what we were looking for. So that's one of the reasons why I did this. And, you know, it's cheesy, but I'm big on how you do anything is how you do everything. And, you know, just because I'm at Camp Shutout and not, you know, training the second team goalkeepers at Houston or whoever, doesn't mean that I'm not going to bring the same level of organization to my sessions.
You know, I want to bring this up right here because, you know, obviously, you know, Stan, you were talking about, you know, licenses, and Eric, you've been going through licenses. And I think there is a point to licenses, and there's a benefit, and there's, you know, and to those courses and everything like that. However, Stan, one thing that you brought up to me, I think it was a few years back, I think actually Camp Shutout, when you were talking about some of the staff assistants and everything there, is that who have been going through the licensed courses, is that there's one thing about being around something and approaching it from an academic standpoint, and there's another thing about being around something and approaching it from a practical, real life standpoint, because a lot of times what works in a license environment doesn't work in an actual real training environment.
We've turned our licensing modern day into a ton of computer time, a boatload of computer time. And, you know, part of that only was COVID. It was well designed before COVID. And there is some value there, and some may find more value in that because maybe they're more academic, maybe they're more proficient, maybe their background is IT. Who knows? But at the end of the day, it's a human to human deal. All right. It is working with somebody and getting them to do something you want them to do that may be a comfortable, uncomfortable. You're not going to find that on the PC. Some are going to learn better in an actual team structure. We all learn differently. Some are going to learn in a module with a group of 15, 25 guys, girls that are going through a course, and they're going to feel better there. It really, again, comes back to where are you going to learn better? You know, for me, when I went through licensing early, I didn't enjoy it as much as I thought I was going to enjoy it. That's A. But then B, I also wasn't as disappointed as I thought I was going to be going in. But it wasn't the greatest environment to learn. You know, I worked with a guy talking with Eric, and that's the type of guy you want around your goalkeepers that you're working with or your team. I worked with a guy for a long, long time that had access to things that he worked on that I personally asked to use, and it was a no. So when you hear somebody saying that they shared and airdropped and blah, 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 that's what I think we're supposed to do, or that's what we want to do. We want to further the game and help people along, and that's an opportunity that whoever Eric was working with, they wanted to learn. But whether it was a camp shutout or camp headache, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, they wanted to learn.
I've worked at Camp Headache, by the way. That is that is quite an environment. We've all worked at Camp Headache, I'm sure, at some point in our lives.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. Eric took that opportunity to help that person learn. And I think that's great. You know, that's again, it's a moment. And it didn't end up being a classroom door that you walked in and sat down with a whiteboard or the screen in front. Yeah, that was the moment to learn, and that's fantastic.
I want to bring this up, Eric. You know, obviously you're still earlier on in your coaching career than Stan is, but I'm sure at some point there'll be a Camp Eric or something like that. I do want to say that there's a lot of people, a lot of younger coaches out there, and especially I love what Stan was saying in regards to with the pandemic and a lot of the online learning and everything like that, who mistake GK analysis and breakdown for coaching education. And they approach everything very conceptually because they haven't had enough hands-on reps. You know, this is a conversation that I've had with a lot of younger coaches out there who think that they know a lot about goalkeeping, and they do know a lot about goalkeeping, but they don't know how to apply it in a real-world environment.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I 100%, just like you said, I'm so at the infancy of my coaching career. Right? That's not really up to dispute. I'm only 2 years.
I wasn't saying that was you. I wasn't saying like you're the one.
I would say that that is probably my approach in the start initially, but I definitely when I reference mistakes that I made at USF, it's You know, theoretically in my head, I have a lot of strong ideas about the position. Now, grass time and implementation and all that kind of stuff, these are, like you said, these are two different things, right? Like you hear people talk about a coach's voice, right? Like a player that's freshly retired, like, oh, he doesn't have his coach's voice yet. He's not quite comfortable yet intervening and developing the relationship with a player just yet. I find myself actively growing in that. You know what I mean? I think it's easy to just go read, you know, some analytics online and say, these are where, you know, the majority of our actions are coming from. So I need to create this moment. And, you know, you get on the field and all of a sudden, you know, something breaks down and some player doesn't show up. And now we have to adapt on the fly. And it's like, okay, how do I still create this moment and make sure that the session is effective for all the players involved? And I think that in itself is an art and a skill that only comes from, like you said, grass time. I think there's certainly a time to be, you know, very educated on what the game demands are and everything like that with regard to the analytics. But, you know, the skill of adapting on the fly, when to intervene, having conversations to build rapport with different players, that's something that needs to be, you know, actively built and developed, because coaching is very much that side of it, from my perspective.
I love what you just said right there, Eric. And Stan, you know, I mean, I'm sure you can attest for this too, but I could go walk out my my door right now, go out to the fields, and I could find 100 young coaches who have, you know, binders full of sessions, just like Eric's right, very well detailed and very crafted sessions right here. And they're so fixated on these sessions because they put so much time and effort, and they go online and they listen to the Tim Ditmers and all the other Franz Hooks and all the great goalkeeper minds out there, Phil Weddins and all that. And they understand it from a GK IQ standpoint. And then they're so frustrated when they go out to, you know, their, you know, U11 environment, and they try to implement all this and it's not working. And they're so stubborn because they believe that this is what you're supposed to do. And they're not willing to just throw it out and see what's really in front of them and either scrap it all or adjust to make it relevant or beneficial to what's in front of them.
Well, without a doubt. And like anything in life, there's natural filters. And, you know, whether that be, you know, grades or the your height or your age, whatever it may experience, you know, on and on. And in this case, the ability to adapt. If you're coaching, you have got to be ready at any moment to adjust to whatever the game throws you or the session throws you. And if that's, like Eric said, someone didn't show up or you have an injury in your session, how do you adjust and adapt? And, you know, if that is your only fallback is to look in your book and, you know, realize that that's where you've got to take a deep dive here for a few minutes before you can get anything sorted. I think players are going to look through you, and they're a very, very savvy bunch. And, you know, to hold the room all the time is very important. And as soon as you lose that room, it's tough to get that room back. And that room can be 11-year-olds. It doesn't have to be 24-year-olds that are playing in front of 20,000 that night. The room is the room. And there's some difference in experience there. But at the end of the day, you've got to hold that room. And it's difficult. But if you can adjust on the fly and make things work and, you know, act like you've been there before, all these type of things, that transition moment can be really easy.
You know, I want to bring this up, Eric, because, you know, one of the things that a lot of coaches who are, you know, pursuing, you know, continuing education or trying to coach at what they consider the quote unquote the highest level. And I know obviously we've discussed some people are better in the youth environment than the professional environment, yada, yada. I didn't realize how much value there was for me from an educational standpoint to work at the quote unquote foundational or lower levels of the game, because it really forced me to have to be able to make adjustments and think about the behavior that I'm giving and that the players are giving and how to adjust that so that it works for this environment. Is that something that you found that, like, when you've worked in a rec environment, a rec camp environment or a clinic environment, you're like, oh, wow, I'm really learning from this and growing from this because I've only worked with U16 elites?
Yeah, I think there's definitely something to be said with working with different skill levels and different age levels. I really don't love when I hear coaches mention that you have to be the better coaches are at the really young age groups. I don't necessarily agree with that, and I've heard that very often. I've heard that from a course instructor on a nameless course in the last couple of years, and it was really frustrating to me to hear. It's like, oh, the best coaches is, you know, at the rec level, and I was like, I don't agree with that. I think that it is a different demand. It's a different type of coaching, right? You need to be a different coach for that young goalkeeper, and you need to be a different goalkeeper coach for that first team goalkeeper. And I think even both of them have similar levels of challenge. But in order to be both of those goalkeeper coaches, you have to be versatile and you have to have seen both sides of it. So from my perspective, I think, you know, that 12-year-old is going to teach you so much about how well do you really understand how to coach catching a ball, right? Or whatever it is, something, you know, that we might perceive to be basic, but you know, how well can you explain it to them, or how easily transferable can that be for them when you're coaching for them? And then in the same token, you know, Stan, in terms of holding the room, you know what I mean? You misstep one time with, you know, when I was playing, you misstep a couple times with me when you were coaching me, and I'm going to turn my head sideways. Right. My belief in what you're telling me is going to be sacrificed just a little bit, because I don't believe that what you're saying has a strong rationale. Right. So I think you need to be a different coach for, you know, certain age groups, for certain skill levels. And I don't think, you know, claiming them to be better or worse on either side. For me, I think you have to be versatile. You learn from that younger goalkeeper just as much as you will learn from, you know, the 25-year-old that, like Stan said, is going out and playing against, you know, 20,000 tonight.
Well, you know, it's funny that you said that, Eric, because when I was talking to Franz a while back, and I'm not trying to name drop here, you know, I'm just very fortunate to have this platform to be able to speak with these people, and they actually will not just block me on social media. but he said there, it's not better or worse. It's different. It's a different coach. You need a different coach at the different levels and the different, you know, and based on the demands and everything. So if you have somebody like he was talking about, there's one of his coaches who's just absolutely phenomenal with 8, 9, 10, 11. Like, they are one of the best in the world at that, mm-hmm. because that is their skill sets are so set for that. And then there's another coach who's fantastic with, you know, IX first team type people because their skill set is set for that. Who's the better coach? They're both great coaches. They're different coaches. Yeah. I think that's really hard to stomach for a lot of younger coaches out there, because they think the being the best coach means coaching the first team. And again, it's really about what works for it was so hard for me to recognize the fact that I'm very good with younger ages, because I thought of that as a detriment to me. That meant that, oh, I'm not taken seriously by older players. It's like, no, it's like, look at your skill sets. Like, you know, I'm moderately funny. I'm patient. I understand the foundational technique. I can break things down slowly and effectively. I can pace it. That works for that age group. You know, if I tried to do that with older guys, it may not work the same. They may want different demands from a coach or whatever, you know. Not saying I can't work with that age group, but where do my skill sets really lie, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
100%.
Bob Gansler, who led us to Italia 90, he always talks about the fact that, you know, you're an educator. You just happen to be a teacher that wears shorts and you're working on grass. You know, you just there's not four walls around you. You're a teacher and you're a coach, and you know, it just, that is what it is. If we were to consider Paul Rogers, one of our top goalkeeper coaches domestically in our top league, MLS, I think Paul Rogers is wasted at 11, 12, and 13 years old. You know, the value that he can bring to a mature 25, 35 year old in goal, and what he is able to kind of answer for them, the questions that they may have, that's where his value is. And he may be considered one of our best. At the end of the day, the needs of what he would need to bring for 11, 12, and 13-year-olds which is not necessarily, we want to think it is, the proper technical skill, et cetera. In a pro environment, in a legit pro environment, top level, et cetera, you know, those kids may be extremely focused, wearing the same gear, discipline, maturity level, years beyond their years. But if we were to have him, let's say, in a club environment, we're going to be wasting his talent. Among others that we could talk, you know, Rob Vartugin, you know, we could go across the league, and Phil, what he's bringing to the table, and on when Todd was in a position. So, you know, I think what Eric is hitting head on, I think some guys that might be, I hope maybe some people that are referring to that comment are referring maybe to a youngster who can get out there and run and show the technical skills that need to be done compared to, let's say, a 45-year-old who isn't ready to be dribbling through cones and showing how to cut the ball and reverse L's and then, boom, what are you doing off the ball? And showing that physically to a bunch of youngsters, that's a different story, all right? And generally there's a category for that as well, and it's called assistant coach. But at the end of the day, you know, I think that that dynamic is real, but I think it takes somebody to understand where somebody's gifts are and where those gifts are going and to put them in the right position to be the most successful.
And I want to say that it sounds like Grubb, you know, over at Houston has a vision and he's has a very good understanding of what he's got with his staff and where they're best suited to be utilized to benefit ultimately the entire club, you know, from the foundational age all the way up to the first team.
Yeah, I think one of the things that Jason emphasizes and that we emphasize is treating Houston like a country rather than a city, because Houston is, you know, one of the biggest cities in the country. So making sure that we are developing goalkeeper coaches throughout the city is super, super important. You know, I'm the head of academy goalkeeping for the Houston Dynamo. And, you know, I work with Jake Davis, who's, you know, our formation phase goalkeeper coach for you know, for the academy. And we have Johan Welch, who's an academy goalkeeper coach as well. We all want to be first team goalkeeper coaches someday, right? So I think we're all in, you know, a certain place for our development. But, you know, everybody has kind of a North Star and wants to develop. And Jason happens to be a very good developer. And you know, Raj before him, you know, I've sat with Jason, you know, what have you taken away from Paul? And it's, you know, the conversation goes on and on. And I think the thing that Paul, from what I can tell from a distance and, you know, from Jason being hands-on, is he can do the D2 guys. He can do the first team guys. He can jump in with the national team and then he can go connect with that 10-year-old and teach them the same and be just as effective with that 12-year-old and identifying that 12-year-old and projecting that 12-year-old from being, you know, this kind of profile to being potentially a first team goalkeeper someday. And then transitioning the next day and being, you know, the best goalkeeper coach that he needs to be for, you know, a first team goalkeeper that's dropped down that needs to be, you know, winning the game tomorrow for the Dynamo second team. So that's the thing that I think makes those guys at least really, really good developers is, you know, they're not just great first team goalkeeper coaches. And this goes back to, you know, my decision to go to Houston in general and take this role is if I'm going to be ready to take a role like that, I need to be able to understand, you know, what does it take a 10 to 12 year old or a 9 year old to go from there, you know, to be a first team goalkeeper someday? You know, what did Gabriel Salina look like, you know, 10 years ago? Right. And how can I spot that kid and get him there? Right.
You can ask Stan. You can ask Stan what Gaga looked like 10 years ago.
I know. He had a mohawk and he was about 17 inches shorter than he is now.
Yeah.
And about 70 pounds lighter as well. And a furrowed brow, even at that young 10 year old age. Wow.
I mean, and by the way, just, you know, just really quickly, you know, everybody's talked about it or whatever, but obviously shout out, you know, Stan, you have a personal connection with Gaga, and just, you know, shout out to somebody like himself, you know, realizing his dreams and getting to a massive club like Chelsea. Just, I mean, not just great for, you know, American soccer, but youth soccer development in general, worldwide, youth goalkeeping development in general worldwide, to see somebody, you know, take that kind of step. So
really happy for their family, Katarzyna. Nick, brother, really good people, and Gaga as well. And Igor did great work with him as well at the Fire Academy. also, and Brown. I mean, Aiden's another one that I could have thrown in there as well. That obviously is you know, he's almost like Aiden in his personality is somebody who just kind of hangs in the back, and then all of a sudden, boom, there's Gagá Slonina off to Chelsea, and who's coming in? Chris Brady, and you know, he's just Aiden has kind of that almost, you know, fatherly type approach, and he does a really good job with it. But you're kind, and I appreciate it. I'm really happy for the Slaninas. They're awesome.
Yeah. And by the way, for anybody who's wondering why Aiden hasn't been on the show yet, he's a very busy man as well, too. We've talked, we've chatted, and he wants to come on. So if you want to give that
we'll
push,
get his ass on.
Contacted Inside the 18 Media, guys. Erica, I know you got to wrap up. I know you got to get to a call here. So while we're wrapping up here, if there's any advice you'd give to any coaches out there who are continuing their education that are looking for outside the box opportunities, I think sometimes we focus so much on the X's and O's and GK licenses and everything goalkeeper related. I know you have really stretched yourself outside of the goalkeeping realm to continue your education. What would you recommend?
Yeah, so I think what I'd recommend depends on what your philosophy behind coaching is and depends on what kind of coach you want to be. So for me, one of my bases of coaching is sports psychology and making sure that I'm the right coach. I've mentioned that for a handful of times, is making sure that I'm the right person for the right goalkeeper, right? So something that I chose to do was do a master's in sport and exercise psychology that I'm nearing the end of right now through a distance learning platform called Staffordshire University that I connected with Anthony White, who's over with the English FA, a couple years ago during COVID, and kind of urged me to go in that direction. And it's kind of been an outside of the box, educational experience, like as you could say. But my emphasis of basis of coaching is around sports psychology and making sure I understand the player. So I've done that. I've committed myself to doing that for the last 2.5 years. But I think for everybody that's seeking new information, you know, ask yourself what you want and then ask yourself how you're going to separate yourself to be different from the pack to get there. That's kind of the choice I made. And that's led me towards, you know, that sport and exercise psychology degree. And, you know, that's what I'm the direction I'm heading in right now. And not to say that I want to be a sports psychologist, but I think in order to be, you know, the most effective coach that I can
you've
be.
Heard, you've heard it here. The next Dan Abrahams right here, Eric Klinovsky.
I don't know. I don't think so. But yeah, that's the direction that I've headed in terms of trying to expand my education in a different way.
That's awesome, man. That's fantastic to borrow something from the one and only Stan Anderson. Stan, do you have something else, another piece of advice for any young coach out there outside of just regular GK curriculum?
I was talking with a friend of ours yesterday, all three of us, and the opportunities of what we do, the collective, all of us in the union, they don't come around. They're not like head coach positions, general assistant coach positions. These type of coaching positions don't come around all that often. You may need to move and chase and that type of thing. But at the end of the day, just be prepared to grind a little bit and do your best to maybe forge an opportunity that ends up coming forward. Okay. I think that's something that might be a little bit overlooked or misunderstood as it relates to GK. There isn't a position shit. I mean, some of the MLS clubs in my earlier time didn't even have a head of goalkeeping at all. You know, they had one guy on the first team and that was it, and nothing in the academy. Those times are changing and that's fantastic. But just be prepared to grind a little bit. And the last thing I'd add for this is, you know, can this for 5, 10, 15 years from now. Because the guy EK is going to be in places that a lot of guys dream of being. He's got his shit together, you know? I'm a big fan.
Thanks,
Well, I think that's a great way. I mean, talk about a way for Eric to feel empowered going into his next meeting right here. with a comment like that, that is awesome. Eric, if people want to connect with you, where's the best place for them to connect with you?
Social media, all the platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Eric Klonofsky. I know it's a mess to try and spell my last name, but
we got to get you on the union, man. We got to get you that little chat.
I have the app downloaded. I've been lazy to set it up. The app is downloaded. It's just waiting there for me to set it up.
All good. Oh, look at this. Look at this comment right here from Everyman Dan. Thanks, Eric, for repping the Houston area. Look at that.
Always.
I love it, guys. And obviously, guys, if you want to reach out to us, it's contact@insidethe18media.com or at Goalkeeper Podcast on all social media platforms, including the union. If you have a guest suggestion or topic suggestion, please, everybody, hound Aiden Brown so he can come on the podcast. And hound Ant White, because we've been trying to get him on the podcast as well, too. And he apologized profusely. He's a very busy man. They had something called the European Championships this year. I don't know if you heard about it. Went pretty successful for that little country right over there. And obviously, guys, check out Camp Shutout. It's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Stan, what's the next thing you guys got going on? Frozen camps.
Exactly, in Michigan, ClarkKeeperTraining.com. It'll be good. It's a good event. It has about 80 to 100 goalkeepers in Grand Rapids. It's competitive. It's good. Cool. That'll be our next event.
And obviously, guys, we got a bunch of events coming up over on the union. We got some different upcoming webinars and courses that you can take for free. So register, subscribe to the union. That is the link right there. It will send you to either Google, Apple Store, your desktop, whatever it is that you just clicked on. It's a smart link. I don't know that technology. You'll have to ask Omar how that all works. We got one August 17th with Itzik Rappaport, mental coach pro out of Southern California. Works with a lot of MLS players and the likes. And that's going to be a really, really solid one, guys. So we're excited for that. That's actually our first webinar. I mean, I'm technically doing one this week, but we're not really promoting that one because it's kind of a test run. But you guys are free to join and give comments on what's working and what's not working, because we'll definitely need that feedback. I'm trying to think of what else to say. Oh yeah, guys, Saskia Weber, congratulations to Saskia Weber. She started doing a color commentary for Angel City FC on their broadcasts, right? And that's really, really cool to see that happening. So that's why she was not here today. They've got a big match against Tigres of Liga MX Femenina tonight, so she's doing calling that game right over there. I'm trying to think of what else to say. No, I think that's everything, guys. I think we covered it. Eric can get to his call.
All-star game is tonight.
Shout out to Dane. Shout out to friend of the show, Dane St. Clair. Very, very awesome to get that that nod in the All-Stars. I'm not sure who's starting tonight, but the fact that he got the nod into the lineup, I think, is absolutely fantastic. And I'm trying to remember who else. Where are the other goalkeepers that were selected for the All-Star game?
I think, Sean was there with him at the All-Stars competition last night. So my presumption is Sean is there as well.
Yeah, so shout out to Sean as well, too. So that's pretty, pretty awesome. And honestly, what a rise for Dane. Shout out to everything you've been doing with Canada and Minnesota. It's been absolutely fantastic. All right, Eric, you can go to your meeting. That's all the time on Inside the 18, and we are out. Later, guys.